If you have faith in God and you don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it would. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have the faith. Now, what's he talking about here? Telling a mountain to jump in the sea. God has set up the universe in a hierarchy of laws, and the law of faith is actually a higher law than the law or the laws of nature.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, as we continue this series called Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles, you're going to learn how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to impact the world around you. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of the beautifully designed and illustrated Daily Hope Prayer Journal. It's a great way to record and track your prayers. And you can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called What Happens When You Have Faith?
Now, what happens when we see with eyes of fear and see with eyes of faith? Let's go over these real quickly. First, five things happen when we see with eyes of fear, and they're all here in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Number one, write these down. First, we exaggerate our difficulties. We exaggerate our difficulties. Now, here's an amazing thing. God has just delivered them from Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, and yet now they're worried about some local tribe. They've just defeated Pharaoh, and yet now they're worried about somebody else. And how quickly we forget, when you look at your problems with eyes of fear, they get bigger. And the more you look at your problem, the more the exaggerated it gets. Somebody criticizes you, the more you think about it, pretty soon you think the whole world's criticizing you. It grows by proportion. Numbers 13, verse 27, 28. Here was the negative report. It's a magnificent land, said the negative spies. But, and there's always a big but. It's a magnificent land, but the people living there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and large. And what's more, we saw Anakim giants there. Now, the Anakim were of the tribe of Skywalker, and and the force was strong with them. And that's another story. Sorry, I got confused there. The next verse, 31 and 32, says, other spies said, they'd crush us. So the majority report of the spies was negative. I want to point out something here. The majority report is almost always negative. Anybody who's going to get something done in this world is going to have to go against the majority report. Because the majority of people are going to be looking with eyes of fear, not eyes of faith. And they said, we say these people and they'd crush us. That word there actually in Hebrew is akal, which means to eat up. It means to devour. I said, man, they'd eat us alive. They're like cannibals. They're bullies. They're tyrants. They're NFL backers. They're going to take us on and we'll be crushed. Only two of the spies have faith, Joshua and Caleb, and yet the people always trust the minority. No, they always trust the majority report because there's always more worriers and there's always more naysayers and there's always more critics and more fearful, fretful, negative people. Now, here's the problem. Negative attitudes are contagious. When they walked up there to the edge, everybody was excited about going into the promised land. It was only when 10 came back and said, we can't do it, that everybody changed their mind. And they began to get infected with a negative attitude. Now, here's what's ironic. They said, this place is filled with giants, and we can't take them on, and they're too heavy. They're too big for us and too powerful. Ironically, 38 years later, when the next generation did get to go into the promised land, you know what the enemy said? They said, we have lived in panic for 40 years because we heard about the 10 plagues of Egypt. And we heard about what your God had done against the most powerful leader in the world, Pharaoh, and we were scared to death, and we were ready to surrender. We were ready to surrender. So you needlessly walked around in the wilderness for 40 years because we were scared to death of you. We exaggerate our difficulties. Second thing we do when we see eyes of fear, we underestimate our own abilities. We exaggerate the problem, but we underestimate our own abilities. And in verse 33 of Numbers 13, it says this: "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Now, you talk about low self-esteem. They're saying, we're insects. We're just a bunch of bugs compared to those guys. They're going to eat us for lunch. We can't do that. And notice they say, we saw ourselves like grasshoppers in our own eyes. That's their own self-image. And it says, and we looked the same to them. How do they know how they looked to the enemy? They didn't. There's a word for this. It's called projection. You tend to project your fears on everybody else around you. And that's what they're doing there. They're projecting their fears. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They'd been freed for 40, but they're still mentally enslaved in a condition they still see themselves as helpless. And they still see themselves enslaved. They're enslaved not by a Pharaoh now, but by an idea, by an image, by a self-concept. Now, let's just stop here for a minute. Because many years ago, people said things about you and to you and behind your back that you overheard that were not true, but you believed them. They're not even in your life anymore. Some of them are even dead, and you're still believing their lives. You're still enslaved to their image of you. And you had somebody, a parent or a partner or a friend or a brother or sister who said, you're uncoordinated. And so you think you're uncoordinated. Or you're never going to amount to much, so you think you're never going to amount to much. You're not good at speaking, or on and on. They told you all those things. You're not in Egypt anymore. That's a self-imposed prison. You're seeing with eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith. And so we overestimate the problem, and we underestimate our abilities. You know, it was funny that it said that some of the spies saw these guys and said, they were tall, and they said, these guys are giants. What's interesting is later when they went in, they found out that the taller people were actually the most calm and the most peaceful. And they had nothing to be afraid of. The tall people were not even warriors. It's just they all had it in their mind. Third thing that happens when you see with eyes of faith, fear, we get discouraged. First, they overestimate the problem. Second, they underestimate their own ability. We're like insects. We're just grasshoppers. Third, they get discouraged. And in Numbers 14:1, it says, then all the people began weeping aloud, and they carried on all night. They had a giant pity party. Poor us. And they're now crying and weeping because they don't get to go into the promised land. What's keeping them out? Their fear. They're not living by faith. We get discouraged. And then quickly we move to number four, and that is we move from discouragement to griping. We start to gripe about all of our lives and everything that's going to go wrong in our lives. And in verse 2, after the all-night pity party, it says, then all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They picked on the leaders. We wish we had died in Egypt, they wailed. Or even here in the wilderness. Now notice, first they mourned, and now they murmur. And first they cry, and now they can complain. What it is, it's discontent. By the way, let me just say this to you. Highly critical people are always highly insecure people. It's dominated by fear. When you find somebody who's critical of other people, it's because they're incredibly insecure. And if I don't feel good about me, I certainly don't want you feeling good about you. So I'm going to criticize, and I'm going to complain, and I'm going to, you know, be against any success that you might have. But we underestimate our abilities, we get discouraged, we gripe about our lives, and then eventually, number five, next verse, we give up and we blame God. We give up and we blame God.
That's Pastor Rick Warren. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
It's been said that prayer moves the heart of God. That's why I want to tell you about a very special resource Pastor Rick and his team created just for you. It's the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. This first of its kind, vegan leather, full color prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, and space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. The 208 pages are beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses. This prayer journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with the Lord, strengthen your prayer practice, and establish a consistent, daily prayer time. When you give a gift to this ministry, we'll send you the Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so get yours today. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get yours, so don't wait.
Right now, we'd like to let you know that a very special friend of the ministry has offered a $100,000 matching grant for this month. Now, that means that when you support Daily Hope, every dollar will be matched up to $100,000 all the way to the end of this month. But please remember, if we don't reach the $100,000 mark by midnight, December 31st, well, we'll lose whatever is left over. So please give, however God leads you. These funds are critical as we go forward with our vision of sharing the hope of Jesus with more people who need it.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
When you find somebody who's critical of other people, it's because they're incredibly insecure. And if I don't feel good about me, I certainly don't want you feeling good about you. So I'm going to criticize and I'm going to complain and I'm going to, you know, be against any success that you might have. But we underestimate our abilities, we get discouraged, we gripe about our lives, and then eventually, number five, the next verse, we give up and we blame God. We give up and we blame God. Verse three, they said, why is the Lord, notice, why is the Lord bringing us to this land to be killed with swords? We'd be better off going back to Egypt. You know what they're saying there? We know better than God. We know better God. Notice, they're blaming God for not letting them go into the promised land. God isn't holding them back. It's their fear that's holding them back. So they're second guessing, and now all of a sudden they're remembering the good old days of Egypt. Good old days? What was the good old days? 400 years of slavery. Why would anybody want to go back to Egypt? It was slavery, but it was safety. It was safe slavery. And a lot of people get stuck in safe slavery. And they're enslaved by a relationship, or they're enslaved by a fear, or they're enslaved by a habit, or they're enslaved by a compulsion, or they're enslaved by a thought that I have to do a certain thing. And to let go of that, they really don't like it, but at least it's predictable, it's comfortable. And I know what's in Egypt. And some of you are doing that. Some of you are confusing slavery and safety. They're not the same thing. You say, I know it's a bad situation, but at least it's predictable. And I know this habit is self-defeating, but it's comfortable. It's just who I am. It's what I do. It's who I am. There is no real freedom without taking risks. Safety and freedom are on opposite ends of the continuum. And you're either moving more towards safety and slavery, or you're moving more toward taking risks and freedom. God made you to be a risk taker. God made you to live by faith. Don't die in the desert. Now, let me contrast that with what the Bible says happens when we start to live our lives seeing everything by faith, learning to be a dreamer, learning to see God's vision, learning to look at things not as they are, but as they could be. How do you do that? And what difference does it make in my life? Well, let me explain these to you. Write these down. What happens when we see with eyes of faith? Six things. I could give you two dozen, but let me just give you six. Number one, faith shrinks my problems. The first thing that I do when I begin to open the eyes of my heart, Lord, and I begin to see what God is doing around me, and I begin to look at things from God's viewpoint, it shrinks my problem. It gives you a new perspective. See, when you see your problem from God's point of view, well, then everything gets a whole lot more manageable. If you have a big God, problems get small. If you got a small God, problems get big. Now, when you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, you're a big God, and you can handle this problem, and I'm gonna give it to you, and I'm gonna just let you work it out. I'm trusting you. I'm seeing with the eyes of faith. Let you work it out. Then you can relax. And you say, well, how's it gonna be solved? You say, well, that's God's problem. It's not my problem. It's God's problem. Faith shrinks my problem. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is obviously no. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Luke 1:37, Jesus says, for nothing is impossible with God. You know, if you were to come to my office and you were to go into my library and pull out my dictionary and look up the word impossible, you would find that the word impossible is not in my dictionary because 35 years ago, I cut it out. I said, if it's not in God's vocabulary, it's not in mine. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. Faith shrinks my problems. Number two, faith opens the door for a miracle. Faith opens the door for a miracle. Faith can move mountains. You know, if you study the Bible and if you study history, you find that every time God moves out on earth and does a miracle, it's because somebody believed. Faith opens the door to miracles. Mark 11, Jesus said this, have faith in God. If you have faith in God and you don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea. And it would. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have the faith. Now, what's he talking about here? Telling a mountain to jump in the sea. God has set up the universe in a hierarchy of laws, and the law of faith is actually a higher law than the law or the laws of nature. And that's where miracles come in. Because when faith is used, the law of faith goes into practice, and God set up the fact that the law of faith can actually do more than the laws of physics. You know, if you actually had the real faith, you'd say, go jump into an ocean and the mountain would. And does God still perform miracles today? Of course he does. And during this, one of the reasons I'm excited about this campaign is that during this series, the Daring Faith series, Key to Miracles, we're going to see some miracles. Every time you stretch your faith, God does miracles. Every single time. So my question is, we're getting ready to start this series. What's the mountain in your life? What's the mountain that needs to be moved? What's the thing you look at that thing, it's never moved, it hasn't moved, it's not gonna move, it never will move. What is the mountain in your life that you are saying, it's never gonna change? Well, you've already decided it. That's a self-defeating and self-fulfilling prophecy. How do you know? Maybe God wants to do a law of faith superseding the law of nature. He has. He has in the past, he has in the present. He's done it all around the world. Faith opens the door for miracles. God is in the mountain moving business, but you must not doubt. Look at this verse on the screen. Matthew 13:58 says, Jesus did not do many miracles. He's talking about that town there because of their lack of faith. Their lack of faith caused Jesus to not do many miracles. You say, I don't see any miracles in my life. I wonder why. Are you seeing with the eyes of fear? Or are you seeing with the eyes of faith? Faith shrinks my problems. It opens the door to miracles. And number three, faith moves God to act on my behalf. Faith moves God to act on my behalf. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this. It moves God to act on my behalf. I do not subscribe to the health and wealth theology where God really ends up being a servant, and that God serves you rather than you serving God. And in many versions of this, God becomes a genie where you rub the bottle and you pray the prayer, or you drop the 50-cent piece into the slot machine or whatever, and then you hit the jackpot. No, God is not your genie. God is God, and you're not, and he's not there to cater to your every whim. He's just not. But at the same time, Matthew 9:29, Jesus said this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you want to know why God has blessed my life? Not because I deserve it, because I don't. Not because I'm smarter than everybody else, because I'm not. God has worked in my life because I humbly expect him to. I expect him to use me. And God does exactly what you expect him to do. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. If you expect God to do a little in your life, he'll do a little. If you expect God to do a lot, he'll do a lot. If you don't expect God to do anything, he won't do anything. This is why I'm going to push you on your faith in this series. This is why I'm going to stretch you and challenge you. Because I don't want you to be satisfied with playing in Kitty Beach in the shallows of life. I want you to put on your big boy swimsuit and dive in the deep end. And I want you to challenge yourself to believe God more than you've ever believed him for.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you've been listening to our series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's been said that prayer moves the heart of God. And that's why I want to tell you about a very special resource Pastor Rick and his team have created just for you. It's our Daily Hope Prayer Journal. This first-of-its-kind, vegan leather, full-color prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, and space to express your gratitude and personal prayer request to God. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Before we close, I just want to take a moment to say thank you once again to all of you who have supported us with your prayers and your financial gifts. We really are working together as partners in the gospel. And I want you to know that your prayers make a difference. I believe that. I not only know it, I feel it. I can feel when people are praying for me. And your prayers are opening doors for us to take the gospel into places we've never been able to go before. And your prayers also prepare the hearts of the people who are going to hear the good news, that message of daily hope, for the very first time. Now, let me tell you a little bit about where we're going this next year. In the coming year, we are hoping to expand Daily Hope into more major cities and markets, not only in the United States, but all around the world. And we've also set a goal of translating the Daily Hope broadcast into Spanish. Did you know that there are over 400 million people on this planet who speak Spanish? We want to take the message of hope to those 400 million people. You know, we're rebuilding our website to actually accommodate several different translations of our Daily Hope devotional. And we're going to have it in Chinese, we're going to have it in Arabic, we're going to have it in Vietnamese, Indonesian. If you know anybody who speaks any of these languages, you need to tell them about the Daily Hope website. Please do that. And by the way, if you can help us with these expansion opportunities, reaching out to every nation, I would really appreciate it. It's a great time to donate because there's a family that partners with Daily Hope that's offering a $100,000 matching grant this month, which means anything you give will automatically be doubled up to $100,000. So your donations matter. In this month of giving, I'd like to give something to you. And I'm very proud of this new tool we developed. It's called the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. Full color, vegan leather cover, 208 pages of Bible verses, illustrations, photos, encouraging verses that'll help you stay consistent all this next year in your prayer time. Thanks for listening today, everybody, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. God bless you, and have a great Christmas season.
Now, quantities are limited, so get yours today. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And remember, all this month when you support Daily Hope, every dollar will be matched up to $100,000 till midnight December 31st. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.